Hello, everyone, and welcome to the very first LFC roundtable of Big Brother Canada 5. We are coming to you live from Club HOH. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and we are the LFC. First up, we have the newest addition to the LFC. It's somebody who just recently learned what it's like to be impersonated by a robot on Twitter. It's Melissa Denny. How are you doing, Melissa?
I'm good. Apparently, there are a lot more bots being created. I didn't know that there was... Yeah, there was like a robot Sesternino or something. I don't know exactly what it was. But now, apparently, they've been there for like years. And now they're just starting to tweet again. I don't know. But we just need the Brent Wolgabot.
Yes, we're awakening from our slumber. I think we might need to start like handing out Turing tests to just make sure that we are who we say we are. Next was going to be Alex, but he's not here. So we are missing Alex Kidwell in our first live feed roundtable. So it's a little bit of like a semicircle, I guess. And we also have finally my arch nemesis, the Ica to my Netta. It's Brent Wolgamont. Brent, how are you doing?
Hey, I was just going to say, like, it's like the Golden Girls where there's four of them, but Sophia wasn't actually in a lot of the first episode. She was like the guest star. You see what I'm saying? So that's what's happening with Alex. Like, he'll eventually become really popular and be a part of us. But right now he's off to the side.
Yeah. He's just, we're just like leaving him, you know, he doesn't need to be here all the time. He's an extra right now.
Right.
He's on a love tour, unfortunately.
Another one.
Yes. He loves the love tours. He has been at Reality Rally all week. I think we got to give him some slack. So this is the LFC roundtable. This is the show. We talk about everything that's happening on the feeds. It's for everyone that just wants to know like all the juicy details, or you just want to listen to us, like bicker back and forth and yell at each other. This is the show probably for that. So let's get right into it. Since we last podcasted, a lot has happened. We got the nominations, we got the veto. What's been going down, Melissa?
A lot. Also a lot of down feeds, which is really annoying. Yeah. So a lot, and also not a lot. But William is the new HOH, and he made his nominations. Dylan and Emily were nominated. And then there was the veto. Should I just do a quick, like, who won the veto sort of thing? Or are we trying to, like, wait?
Go.
Okay. Kevin won the veto. He also won, I think, $10,000. Right? It was $10,000?
Yep.
And so now we're just kind of... Oh, there was also a birthday party today, actually.
Yeah.
For Bruno, Dre, and Cindy, because their birthdays are coming up. So, you know, a lot's been going on.
Yeah. I mean, it was a surprise to me that William did end up nominating Emily and Dylan, because I really felt like he was going to take a shot at Bruno before all the talks happened. But we saw a lot of campaigning, especially from Ica, who I feel like was the main driver behind these nominations. What did you think of all that, Brent?
I thought she put in some really good work. And I think Bruno acknowledges that Ica put in some really good work for them. She's pulling her weight. You know, I think in the past they've been sort of dogging her a little bit and kind of can't wait to get rid of her. And, you know, and I can't, Netta famously saying that I can't work with somebody like this, you know, somebody who's emotional like this. And I feel like there were a few events that happened this week that sort of brought Ica back into the fold. But I still think that she is really perfectly positioned, at least for the current house as we see it, because she really is effectively in two groups. The six firmly believe that Ica's part of the six, and the other people on the other side of the house, like William, Dre, Karen, they all think that Ica and Dimitri are part of them. So I can't see where Ica would be nominated by anybody except for Jackie. So if Jackie gets power, I think Ica could be in danger. Aside from that, I think she's probably pretty good. I just want to take a moment really quickly, because I don't think we're going to get a chance to talk about it again. You alluded to it in the beginning. The down feeds. Look, Big Brother Canada, I love you, okay? Arissa has come on our very podcast, Talk with Rob Sesternino. We know she's a fan. She often watches her own show. She follows us on Twitter, so I'm going to give her the real tea right now. You're putting out a shitty product right now is what's happening, okay? I don't understand why the feeds are down as much as they are. Now, look, I grant you, I live in North America, in the United States, where technically we are not watching Big Brother Canada, I guess you could say, but everybody knows Big Brother Canada is followed by everybody all around the world. And we also, as a platform, for Big Brother Canada, give it a lot of exposure within Canada. You know, Rob Cesternino and rap as a whole reach a lot of people, far more people than anybody would realize. And we reach a lot of people in Canada and give Big Brother Canada a lot of free press. So I feel like it's incumbent upon them to do one of two things. Either keep the feeds up as much as possible, which they're not doing, or two, tell us why the hell they're down. Why is a veto competition taking an hour and a half and the feeds are down for 6.5 hours? Why is that? Why is there a party that lasts 2 hours and the feeds are down for 5.5 hours? I have tweeted Arissa, look, I know she's not the production team, I get that, but she's also the only contact that we have that's really part of the show. I wish somebody would just answer why they're down, or if they're not going to answer that, make sure the feeds are up as much as possible. Again, I realize I'm in the United States, and you could say, well, maybe you don't have a say in it, but I also speak for a lot of people in Canada who are very frustrated about this. And are you guys with me on this? There doesn't seem to be a rhyme or reason. It just seems like they're fucking with us, and I don't like to be effed with.
No, I'm so confused why I'm frustrated because they're keeping the feeds down for like the most important things. Well, to me, the most important things, yes, like the parties when everybody's getting drunk and everybody's telling each other things that maybe they wouldn't say sober. I would love to see that stuff. And I mean, all we get is people talking about how great the party was last night or how drunk so-and-so got. It's like, we didn't see any of that. And it's so frustrating. Someone on Reddit said it was similar to having all your friends go to a party that you weren't invited to and then talk about it forever, like the next few weeks. And you're just like, I missed out on all of this. Yeah. And it's terrible. I mean, the one thing I got to see about the party was the next morning, Karen going outside and saying, oh, it's snowing, and throwing up. That's like, that's all I got to see from the party. Like, that's not what I want. I mean, I watched it a bunch of times because I thought it was hilarious, but I want to see the actual party.
Yeah, when all you're seeing is the vomit afterwards, yeah, it's probably not the best deal you're getting.
No.
Yeah, it kind of feels like like when somebody's at work and they're given a task and they just like, they're like, oh, I got a task. It would normally take me an hour, but I'm just going to drag this out for 8 hours. It's like the people working the feeds are like, oh, well, they were already out for an hour, so we can drag another like 5 hours of not having to do work. Right?
Yeah.
Like,
that's
we can just not
feels.
Turn them on for another 5 hours.
It feels like they're giving us the short end of the stick. It feels nice that, like, they're giving the life feeders the short shrift, the people that they basically take for granted. They're like, well, they'll always be there, so we're not going to worry about them. It drives me crazy because we have talked about many times on this show and on Rob's show and on Jordan's show how much they're not showing on the main show. They leave so much out. So to leave the feeds down for this amount of time consistently on a day-by-day basis, after that party, the feeds finally came back on when everybody was going to sleep. Like, I mean, yeah, and now the feeds are on and everybody's asleep. It's just like, again, it feels like they're screwing with us. I just want an answer. That's all I want is an answer. Arissa, somebody, please tell us what the hell's going on with the feeds. Don't give me the party line about, well, these feeds are free and you don't have to pay for them. That's not what we want to hear, because that's not the kind of product you're presenting. And by the way, I would remind y'all, Big Brother Canada, ratings are down. You know, if you guys want to make the fans happy, make the fans happy.
Yeah, it's frustrating too, because it's like, it almost gets to the point of like, what's the point of having the feeds if,
yes,
if they're down so often? It feels like we're often just doing patchwork, a mm-hmm, job of like, you know, what happened in the last few days. Like,
yeah,
we have to, it's like we're constantly at the point where we missed the first week of feeds and we're trying to like piece stuff together,
yeah,
because we're constantly missing stuff. And it's like, oh, I didn't realize these people had a good relationship, but apparently now they do. And like, it's just constant guesswork like that. And it can get very frustrating.
Yeah, the whole time is I feel I'm just trying to do catch up. I don't feel like I can just watch the feeds as they're happening. I feel like nothing's going on. The feeds are off, the feeds are off, the feeds are off. And then all of a sudden they come on and everything has changed. And I'm trying to figure out, wait, how did this all happen? Okay. And I'm getting secondhand stories from so-and-so saying, oh, like random stories about last night. And that's all I'm getting. And I'm trying to figure it out myself. And that's like, that's frustrating.
Right. And because we didn't see it happen ourselves, we're listening to other people give secondhand,
yeah,
information
secondhand,
that may or may not be true, because mm-hmm, we, you know, they're speaking to other people about this. But, you know, if somebody like Kevin is speaking to Karen, he may not be giving her the true story of what really happened or what went down in this fight or what was said here and there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, and like, I think one of the most important things that happened this season was the rift between Netta and Cass, and we never saw that. And that was obviously something that we would have missed anyway, but it's stuff like that that we're mm-hmm, continuing to miss throughout the season, which can just get very frustrating. You know, one of the things that I feel like exemplifies this sort of feed outage thing is that when the feeds come back after William wins the HOH, we've basically already got Kevin in the HOH room with William, just kind of like cozying up. That was like a large part of the first stuff we saw from William's HOH. And it was very confusing because like, where is Dre? What is Dre doing right now? Why is Kevin talking to William so much? Why, like, Kevin is basically laying on top of William, giving him a lot of information, getting a lot of information back. And right off the bat, essentially, we saw a lot of people talking about this on Twitter, pimping himself out a little bit to make sure he stayed. So I imagine that you have a lot of feelings about this, Brent.
Go girl, get it done. Yeah, do whatever you do to whatever you need to do to keep yourself safe. And I don't know that Kevin was really doing that, but I thought it was funny because Kevin was talking with Dylan at one point before the feeds went down, and he was like, well, I don't know, you know, obviously we're gonna be in danger this week. And like, Dylan's like, well, he's not gonna nominate you, he's thirsty for you. He's like, get up there and do something. And Kevin's like, I have morals. Dylan's basically like, moral schmorals, just get up there and do what you need to do.
Yeah, Dylan would say that, wouldn't right? he? So Kevin keeps himself safe this week. He talks to William, he makes sure that he is not on the chopping block, even though maybe should be. It's not like he's particularly loyal to William, but he is just turning on the charm. I do think a part of him does like William.
I agree.
But I think he's just, I think at this point it's mostly just using him. What do you think, Melissa?
Yeah, I mean, I think Kevin likes William as a person. But I think that he's more focused on the game this time, or at least he's trying to be more focused on the game. And I think he would cut William in a second if it meant that Kevin could stay longer. I just think that it's surprising to me that Dre is just letting William have free reign to do whatever. If I was Dre, I mean, because she tells William, protect your heart. Don't fall into it. Don't fall for Kevin. Like, you know, you have to stay strong. But then she just leaves and lets Kevin and William stay in the bed together all night. Like, she's not, I would want to be right there, and I'd want to be telling, like, making sure that everything was kosher and not let anything out that shouldn't be out. It's just surprising that she's willing to just let him go.
Yeah. I mean, this is not, it's not like a real relationship, right? It's not like, oh, I have to trust them and to like do their own thing. It's like, no, this is Big Brother.
Yeah.
And you need to be on top of these people, making sure that they're not screwing up, because it makes a big difference to your own game. And Dre has just really dropped the ball on keeping track of William and letting people like Kevin and Ika influence him a lot more than she is, when she should be the main influence here.
Yeah, especially because that night William was really drunk. So it like especially wasn't a good idea to just leave them together to like just like talk and chat about everything that's been going on. Because even the next day they were like, well, what did you talk about? And he's like, we talked strategy. And they're like, well, what did you say? And William's like, I was drunk, I don't really remember. Like, that's like so horrible. It's like, wait, no, you don't remember what you said to him? Like, this is not good. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like I got a lot of information, but I just can't remember what it was. I think he told me like who was running the house and like, oh man.
So none of it. So you didn't learn anything from this? You got nothing out of this whole conversation. And if anything, Kevin just got stuff from you. Great.
Well, there was one thing he did get, which was Kevin told him that Cindy was the person who nominated him during the backwards week. And this was a big thing, because he was convinced that it was Jackie and that Jackie was lying about it. And he went and he told Dre and Ika that Kevin told him this about Cindy. And that led to quite the series of events. Brent, why don't you take us through this?
Well, Kevin, you know, he's trying to save multiple people. You know, obviously his ass is on the line. There's a slim possibility that William could nominate him somewhat as a pawn. I don't think William would obviously take a shot at Kevin directly. But Bruno was definitely on the chopping block. And also Dylan and Emily were possibilities as nominees. Jackie was a possibility as nominees. And there were various factions within the six that were trying to get different people put up. Kevin obviously is trying to protect Bruno the most. So in doing so, he's trying to get the heat off of him. And he probably went a little bit too far. I think William was already inclined to nominate Dylan and Emily, or Dylan and Jackie, or some amalgamation thereof. But he took it a little bit further than he probably need to. He exposed that Cindy was the person that voted for William, that nominated William during backwards week. William was taken aback by this. And then Jackie also told William that Cindy was the person who nominated him. And then that led to a little bit of a confusion, where William still didn't believe it. He's like, are they lying to me? Like, are they concocting a story to blame it on Cindy? Because he saw Kevin and Jackie talking, or I think Ika saw Kevin and Jackie talking previously. So they're trying to figure out, are they working together? Of course, Ika knows the real tea. I think she did at that point. I lose track of who knew what. But the point being that eventually it all came out. Cindy did some really bad work here because, first of all, Kevin had to go explain himself to the six. And they didn't like the fact that he basically threw Cindy under the bus. Cindy didn't like that she was thrown under the bus. Ika was the one who told the six that Cindy's in trouble now because of Kevin. So obviously Ika doing a little bit of double agent work there. Then the other thing that happened too in regards to this is that when Cindy eventually talked to Dre about it, and I think, I can't remember if William was in the room or he left and then came back, but she lied. She said, no, it was Jackie. I voted for, who did she say she voted for? Do you guys remember? The point being that she said she didn't nominate William. She lied. She said, it's not me. I didn't nominate William. And so
she said she nominated Jackie.
Right. She said, exactly. She said she nominated Jackie. And then, but then Dre and William started talking and they eventually worked it out that she was lying because they knew that Demetrius was the one who nominated Jackie, right? I'm like, it's hard to keep track of all these.
So I think what happened was Ika said to Cindy, don't tell them that you actually were the vote because they're really mad at Jackie and we want to keep them mad at Jackie. So go and lie to them. So Cindy went and lied to them. Then Ika went to Dre and had this weird conversation with her where she like worked out like, oh, you know what? It probably was Cindy.
Yeah, but it did surprise Ika though, because there was at one point where Ika was like, she said like, I can't remember whose vote it was, but Dre basically said, so you voted for who or somebody voted for who? And Ika was sort of gave her this look like, how do you know that? And then she was like, oh yeah, I did, or something like that. And then, so I think maybe Ika sort of walked into that without realizing the landmines that were there.
When I was watching it, what I got from it kind of was that, I mean, I could be totally off, but it seemed to me that Ika then realized that the only way this would have worked out is if Demetrius had been lying about his vote, right, or that Demetrius had given a vote to Dre or someone that he didn't give a vote to. And so Ika realized that she had to get, like, she wanted to protect Demetrius by making sure that it ended up being back on Cindy because she didn't want Demetrius getting in trouble, is like kind of what I was getting from it. So then when Dre was trying to, you know, lay it all out and was like, this doesn't quite make sense, they calculated literally every single vote. And I think Ika started to realize that, oh shoot, Demetrius is going to be on the hook if this doesn't work out. And so she's like, you're right. Now I'm confused. And she kept saying, now I'm confused. I'm confused now. It's like, what's going on.
And then she went and told everyone like, oh man, Dre knows.
Yeah.
I know, right? Leaving out the part, her part in that. Yeah.
Afterwards, like, Dre left and Demetrius and Ika talked, and Demetrius, or Ika's like, what did you say to her? Like, did you lie about your votes? Like, what's going on? Like, so she made sure that Demetrius was covered. And I think that that's what caused Ika to kind of let Dre figure it out that it was Cindy.
Yeah. And I think it shows kind of the position Kevin is in, especially with these people, that he was in a lot of hot water because they were convinced that he was lying about Cindy's vote. Dre even said, I will shave my eyebrows if Cindy voted for you.
Yeah.
But then when the truth was revealed that he actually was telling the truth, that it didn't, like, they weren't like, oh man, we doubted Kevin and we shouldn't have. It was like, well, he's still an asshole.
Yeah. They were like, I still don't trust Kevin.
I know. Yeah. I heard when Dre said that, I'm like, girl, you're a real Sherlock Holmes. I'll tell you that.
I thought it was really funny how Dre was so certain that it wasn't Cindy. And she kept saying, like, William, think, it can't be Cindy. And it's like, wait, but why?
Shut up.
Like, why can't it be Cindy?
I don't know. Because they have a good relationship, apparently. I don't know.
Yeah. I think it was a matter of like, she wanted it to be true. Like, she hates Jackie much that it's just like, it had to be Jackie because Jackie is the liar. Jackie is the fake one. It's all Jackie's fault all the time.
Yeah.
And
even afterwards, they didn't go back and say, well, Jackie was telling the truth. They were once again just like, well, Jackie sucks. So nobody came out of this unscathed.
Yep. Except for, at least at this point in time, Bruno, who I feel like, had been kind of in hot water here. Dre was concentrating on Bruno a little bit, but Bruno has been putting in work with Ika and Demetrius in the past week, and especially in this time between HOH and nominations, and he really got Ika to fight for him. And I do think that Ika ultimately prevents Bruno from being put up on the block. And she kind of correctly points out that this was Kevin's job and Kevin failed and she had to step in and do it for him. Kevin did manage to keep himself safe, but I don't think he was the reason that Bruno was safe. So, I mean, as Brent sort of pointed out, Aika's work here, but also I think Bruno's work in getting Aika to trust him when she really, really shouldn't trust him. What do you think about that, Melissa?
Well, I will say that Bruno's conversation was frustrating me so much. His conversation with William. Because like I was sitting there thinking like, how are you falling for this, William? But I mean, I guess it just shows that if Bruno can convince anyone of anything. But basically, William was like, okay, well, who are your targets? Like, who would you nominate? And Bruno's just like, you know what? I'm a family man. I'm a family man. And it was like, okay, but what does that have to do with anything? Like, who would you nominate? And then he still found a way to get around saying who he would nominate. It's just crazy. He'd be like, well, but you know what? I like you. And it's like, no, who do you want to nominate? He just avoided everything. And then by the end, William had said, I want to work with you. And they gave each other a hug. And that was the end of the conversation. Like, I don't know how Bruno does it.
Well, but I was sort of throwing a little bit of shade on that because I felt like William didn't totally buy that. I mean, I know he's obviously didn't nominate Bruno here, but it didn't seem like he totally bought it. When Bruno walked out of the room, William didn't seem like he was believing much of what Bruno said, especially the part where Bruno said that there isn't a side of the house. Like when he said, like, you know, when William was talking about my side of the house and your side of the house, and Bruno was like, well, I don't see sides of the house. Like, bitch, please. Like, you know, that's where I think William just had it up to here with him.
Especially after Kevin the previous night had been talking all night about sides. My side, your side. Like,
exactly.
But yeah, I do think it's interesting with Bruno because I think he's probably playing the best game right now, almost. At least it's at the very least it's up there, and he's very well positioned and he's doing very good work on people like Aika. But then he has these conversations with people like Gary last week and William this week where it's just falling flat and it's too gamey.
Mm-hmm. It's very gamey and it's very see-through. Like some of the stuff that Gary was criticized for in the beginning weeks where we thought he was playing a pretty good game. We thought he was positioned well, but you pointed out on this podcast, Taryn, that, you know, that some people were seeing through Gary because they felt like that he was doing things for game purposes. And I feel like that this is an instance where Bruno is trying to make what is the correct move, but it seems to us like you're obviously trying to make the correct move, and it by default seems like it is artificial.
Yeah, he's very good with the people that he's in with. But I guess with some of the people that he's not in with, that he hasn't made a good enough connection with, it just feels very inauthentic.
It feels very dad to me. It feels like he's trying to like, you know, why aren't you like, I want you to do this. Why aren't you like, he's just used to getting his way. And obviously he has been getting his way this entire game so far. So I get why he would maybe feel like it just felt to me like he was being inauthentic with William. And I feel like William sensed that, even though he obviously isn't going to nominate him, but I felt like that had more to do with his talk with Dre and his talk with Aika and not so much his talk with Bruno. I feel like Bruno on his own didn't do shit, but
no, yeah.
Aika and Dre, like Dre and William eventually worked out that even if we take a swing at Bruno, they realized what I realized on this podcast a couple days ago, which was that if we put Bruno on the block, there's no guarantee he's going to go home. Like there's a good possibility he'll stay. And then you got two vets who are mad at you.
Yeah, I mean, I was more frustrated that William wasn't trying more to get information out of Bruno. Like, I don't know, I agree with you. I don't think he necessarily was like, wow, I can trust him. Let's work together. I think that it was more that I was frustrated that he wasn't like, okay, but you're avoiding my question. Who would you nominate? Like,
exactly,
because
he has the power.
Actual information out of him.
Exactly, because he has the power to do something about it. He has the power to put you on the block. Answer my damn question.
Yeah.
I want to know, who would you nominate right now? Say their names, or I'm putting you on the block. That's what he needed to say.
Yeah.
He was too much of a pussy about it to do it.
Well, I don't think he needed to say it that bluntly, but
well,
I do agree.
Done it that way.
I know you would have done it that way, Brent. he definitely needs to leverage the power that he has to get information, especially because he knows he's not going to put Bruno on the block anyway, which is like his actions are a sign of good faith. But in the moment, you're going to use the fear that Bruno has to get information from him that you can use to sort of dismantle Bruno's position, hopefully in the future. I guess that's probably asking too much from some of these new players.
Yeah.
And I think this week, especially, we saw the new players are really floundering here. I think it really does go to show that taking out the people like Cass and Gary, who could have organized these new players together and like directed them in a effective way, really was a good thing to do, because they are just really flat. They're taking each other out right now. They're not focusing on the bigger targets. They're not seeing the bigger picture. And these vets should have been in trouble this week. People like Bruno, people like Kevin, they really should have been in trouble, but they're not. And they just basically got a bye week here. And
I
that's
was
going
to ask you, do you think that the House will substantially change after this week?
I don't think so. Here's the thing. I think it's reshifting its focus, basically. We've got the six, but they are starting to form these cracks. And so there was a conversation today with Bruno and Kevin and Netta left eventually. But Bruno was talking about basically the House dynamics, and the way he sees it is that it's basically like 5-on-5 right now with Cindy in the middle, assuming one person leaves of Emily and Dylan right now. So he sees Netta, Kevin, himself, Emily and or Dylan, and Jackie on one side. He sees Ika, Dimitri, Dre, William, and Karen on the other side. And he kind of sees Cindy as somebody in the middle right now. And I think that's basically very accurate. And I think that whoever wins the HOH next week could really, or at least maybe in the double, but probably the one after that, is really going to set the tone for which side comes out on top here. Or somebody like Ika could win, or Dimitri's could win, and they could make a mistake and take out somebody who's not on the other side and kind of screw themselves. So that's sort of how I see the House playing out right now. I really think these next couple competitions are going to be very vital in determining the direction of the game so from now on.
I agree. There's a couple of weird dynamics going on here. Obviously, Kevin's won the veto, and he's not going to use it. Dylan and Emily are pissed at him right now. They're really pissed at him right now. So I'm intrigued to see whichever one of them stays, because they've been pretty loyal to that side of the House, the Brunos and Kevins and Nettas. So are they going to continue to work with him? Or are they going to be pissed at Kevin for taking Dylan out? Because it was down to the final two, Dylan and Kevin at the end of this veto competition. And Kevin ultimately won it. And Dylan was, and Emily really pissed at Kevin, saying that, he went really hard for this. And why did he have to go for this? And, you know, why did he have to win the veto? Meanwhile, cut to Dre and William from a few hours earlier, when Dre was like, if the veto's used, all you got to do is put Kevin on the block as a pawn. I'm like, see, this is why, Big Brother, this is why you have to win the veto if it's out there for you to win, if you think you're in danger. But there's a weird dynamic, because Dylan has been saying this whole time that he wants to go home, that he wants to be the one who's evicted. He doesn't want to be here without Emily. And is he going to fall on his sword? But beyond that, Bruno and Kevin want Dylan to stay. Netta wants Dylan to stay. But it seems to me like the other side of the House is figuring out, because Bruno and Kevin are fighting for Dylan to stay, that that's not the move that they should make at this point. And I agree with them. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I agree. We're seeing this sort of play out almost this week, where there's two sides of the House right now, and the vote is pretty split. If they decide, if William and Dre decide we're going to like fight for this, we're going to keep Emily instead of Dylan, and Bruno and Kevin decide we're going to try to keep Dylan over Emily, then I see the votes as about it's what, like 4-4, and then Cindy in the middle. So we could see this already be playing out, and who knows where it goes. Are Ika and Dimitri's really going to take a stand? We're going to see this, I guess, again, where they are the key votes here, and they also need to drag in Cindy now to in order to get rid of Dylan. Are they going to take the shot this week? It feels like it's the same story week after week. Are Ika and Dimitri's going to pull the trigger eventually and draw a line in the sand?
Yeah, Oh, sorry. I just want really quickly. I was just working out the vote. So I forgot how many people were voting this week. Is it 9 people?
I believe it's 9 people voting.
9 people are voting. So I can see 5 people. Like, Jackie would obviously vote to save Emily, don't you think? And obviously Dre would, Karen would. If Ika and Dimitri's go that way, then there's no way that Dylan can be saved.
Well,
if Jackie goes that way, yeah.
Also, okay. I don't know how truthful this is, but I did hear Kevin and Dimitri's both say that they'll kind of go with what William wants. I don't know if that they were just saying that and posturing, but they did say, like, you know, William's been really good to them this HOH. Like, they're just going to go with what he says. So if William wants, you know, Emily to stay, or he wants Dylan to stay, whatever he wants, like, they might just go for it.
And it's an interesting one too, because I really don't think there's that much of a difference between Emily and Dylan here. I know Emily has been talking to people, especially Karen today, about How upset she is with Kevin, and she wants to go after Kevin, and she's even kind of upset with Bruno because they're kind of close.
Right.
And she's like realizing now that how close Kevin and Bruno are. I don't think that's going to stick, though. I don't think Emily jumps ship here, even if she does stay.
I feel unless she would be more of a free agent, though. Don't you
right.
think?
I do.
I feel like Dylan would be like right under Bruno's, you know what? Like, I feel like he'd be there just like, you know, ah, I'm here for you, boss, you know, but I don't think that Emily in any universe without Dylan is going to be like that. I feel like she could be feisty by herself. I would like to see that.
Yeah. And I think Dylan is ideal to keep here for people like Kevin and Bruno, because Dylan is somebody who doesn't have a lot of drive for the game. He doesn't really care. He doesn't really want the money. He's right now, he wants to be out instead of Emily. I think that he's somebody that's going to be easy to control. He's also this big looming guy. He's a big threat. And that's
and
a big
thing.
And he's
a team player. He's very much like Dallas.
Exactly.
Like, he's like, well, I'm on our team. You know, we got our team. We got our four. We got our five. He's that kind of guy. He's not somebody who's going to be freelancing a lot. Whereas I feel like Emily could do that.
But yeah, and I agree, but I do think that if Emily stays, I do think we'll ultimately see Bruno be able to drag her back in. I think, today Bruno and Kevin were working on making sure they had Jackie, because Jackie is vital at this point to maintain their numbers. And if they're able to contain Jackie and have Emily stay, and not like, if they campaign for Emily to go and it's a 5-6 vote, then they've lost Emily. So they can't make a stand unless they know they have the votes. And if they don't take a stand, they just let Dylan go. I do think they can reel Emily back in through Jackie and through their previous relationship. I do think she'll cool down eventually. But it's definitely going to be an interesting way of like how this plays out. And especially leading into next week with the numbers being so tight and Netta potentially losing her immunity. Speaking of which, I think we should talk about Netta. I feel like, especially with regard to the cheering when she lost the HOH competition. What did you think about that, Brent?
I thought that was unfortunate. You know, I haven't been loving Netta this whole time, but I don't like it when outside events interfere with the house that are not game related. And I know you could make an argument to me that that is part of it, because I've seen that many, 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 many times on Big Brother US where the house guests hear the audience reaction to a vote, to them casting a vote, to the reading of the votes, to the competition. I get that. I just think it's a bit unfortunate that apparently they are making this big of a deal about it. Obviously, the house guests, I wasn't sure that they heard it, but they did. They really did hear it. And it was a bit unfortunate for Netta, because on that specific question, she was the only person who was eliminated. So they obviously knew that the cheers for somebody being eliminated were for her. It wasn't like it was Netta and Cindy being eliminated. And she, you know, you were like, oh, who were they cheering for? It was only Netta. So they knew that Canada's a little bit fed up with her. Probably accurate at this point. Aika thinks that Canada realizes they made a mistake, that they should have given the immunity to Cass. Probably true. I'm thinking I would have. I'm wishing I would have as well. But on the other hand, you know, we didn't know that back then. I mean, coming into the season, we were thinking that it was this big target. And we thought that we needed to give her the, you know, if somebody's going to have immunity, might as well be the best player in the field who we think could potentially be eliminated early. Like, I'm thrilled that Bruno's working with Netta, but coming into this season, I thought Bruno would want her out on the first week. So you never know how things were going to work out. And I lost my train of thought there. But the point being that the house guests know about this, and that's not good. And so it's affecting their view of Netta, and they think that she's the villain of the season. They I think maybe are not quite as afraid of her as maybe they used to be. They're like, if I take her out, Canada will be with me. And Aika, I know, is feeling like that. And so I'm interested. I don't like what happened, but I'm interested in the fallout. I'm interested to how Netta responds to the fallout. And there's a lot of unknowns here, I feel like.
Yeah, we saw the immediate fallout right after the HOH. Essentially, right. A lot of people were talking about, as you mentioned, Netta, people were cheering against her. That's crazy. Kevin was talking about it with William. William was talking about it. Like, are you playing Netta's game, Kevin? Is that what you're doing? And he's like, yeah, I guess I am. Like, Kevin and Bruno are very happy about this. They're glad to have Netta seen as the figurehead villain while they're sitting in the middle. And that's how they describe themselves, sort of in the middle, kind of in danger if a couple people win, but also not totally untouchable like people like Dimitri's and Cindy are at the moment, because that's not a good place to be either, because they expect those people to crash. So they're happy about this position that Netta is in. And I think we saw Netta lose a lot of power because of this. But I do think finally she's starting to take a back seat and she's finally starting to lay low. And I'm very happy about this. What are your thoughts here, Melissa?
Oh, I just felt so bad for her. I mean, like, because she tried to put on a brave face and told Dre, like, oh, I don't care. I don't care. And then she went and she cried by herself. I think that's so sad. Like, I just feel so bad for her. I don't want her to have to feel like that. But, you know, just because she's trying to play like a strong game and, yeah, maybe she's doing some stuff that's not so favorable. But still, like, you know, it's sad to think that, like, the whole country hates you. I don't know. I feel bad for her. But I do agree that I think this is going to be really interesting. And I really did like when William confronted Kevin and basically called him out and was like, he's like, I'm surprised you're playing Netta's game for her. And I was like, yeah, go William, say something. But, you know, I don't know. I feel bad about it.
I feel like that was the William's best moment as HOH because the rest of the time he was drunk and giving out information to everybody. But this one time he actually got some shade in and made somebody feel bad. Yeah. And I'm not sure Kevin really felt bad, but maybe he did a little bit. And anything that he can do to undermine Netta and her power and her position in the house at this point, I feel like is a good thing.
Yeah. And like I said, I'm very happy about how Netta's handled the situation. I feel like the target on her back has already started to subside. Mm-hmm. I think that if she had started this last week, I think she'd be in a great position. I really wish she hadn't won that veto last week. I really wish she had stayed back a bit more, but I do like what she's doing right now. She seems to have Aika again, sort of temporarily back on her side at the moment. And she's moving back and forth between Aika and Kevin and Bruno. And I'm happy about that. And I don't think there are many people who would take her out in the double if she is in fact, vulnerable.
Yeah, I agree with that. I also don't think that she will be vulnerable. I think that they don't want to lose her in the double. So I think everybody, what everybody was tweeting me, and then yes, I heard y'all on Twitter, 5,000 people tweeting me saying, Brent, it's going to be 8 people in the jury plus Canada's vote. Well, it may be, I don't know, but they could do something crazy because the Big Brother Canada is anything but predictable, but that's definitely a possibility. And no, I don't think Netta will be vulnerable for the double, but we'll see. Maybe
Who do we think is in danger for the double?
Well, it's just quickly before we get into that, I'm seeing right now that Netta is talking to the cameras right now about essentially what we're talking about. She's saying, like, Canada, please don't hate me. I understand when people get out your favorites. I'm not funny or entertaining, just a game bot.
See, that self-awareness is why I love her. Now, I'm coming back around to Team Netta when I hear her say stuff like that, because, like, she has a good perception of not only herself, but how she's perceived by Canada as a woman. And so I get that. So I like the fact that she's sort of like, in my heart of hearts, do I feel like she really feels like this? No, I feel like she's like, F y'all, like, I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to win this game. But I feel like she has a good self-awareness where she knows to go to the camera and be like, you know, come on, you guys, don't hate me. I'm really trying here. You know, like, give me a little slack. And I already feel better just hearing you say that.
Yeah, she's saying, I understand I'm not the most entertaining, funny person in the DR or the house. I'm not that great at television.
You took out
my only alliance is to my family and my cat. I will F anyone else over to win. and she's talking about how she wants to continue to play the middle in between the six, talk shit about Aika with Bruno, talk shit about Bruno with Aika, which I think can work for her because I don't see, it's working for her right now. And what she's doing successfully that I feel like Aika will eventually trip herself up on is that she's not going to Bruno and telling Bruno everything that Aika said, and she's not telling Aika everything that Bruno said. She's just kind of taking it in and making sure that her position is maintained, which is what she should be
talking
doing.
Talking a little bit of smack, too. So she's not really giving out a lot of information, but she is talking a little bit of smack, which goes a long way in the house when you're trying to build a rapport with somebody else who you're trying to get to trust you.
Yeah. So let's get back to that question that Melissa had. Who do we think is most vulnerable in this upcoming double eviction? What do you think, Brent?
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, I think it probably would be easier to talk about who isn't. I'm going to try to answer it a different way. I feel like Bruno, Kevin, Netta, whoever is left between Demily, Dylan and Emily, I feel like they're probably pretty safe unless Dre gets power. Dre is the one person who I could see going after Bruno. The people that I feel like are in the most danger are people like Jackie, who could, you know, be used by a pawn by anybody. Karen is somebody who's probably pretty inconsequential, who, you know, look, I'll just put it this way. In a double eviction, it's very tight. It's not quite as tight as United States, because United States, it's live. And I don't know exactly how much time they have in Canada, but it's pretty quick. And when you got to do something quick, usually you want to do something that's going to make the least people mad. And some combination of Karen and Jackie is probably going to make the least people mad. So I feel like they're probably in the most danger.
I think that, oh, go ahead.
I could see that. Yeah. I could see that. I don't know if they're going to get voted out, though. I feel like, especially in a double, I honestly think Bruno might be willing to take a shot at Ika here. If somebody, not that he would take one himself. He would never put them up himself. But I think if Dylan stays and Dylan wins, or if Jackie wins, I think he will encourage them. And he has been a little bit this week to say, go after Ika and Dimitri's. We'll take out maybe Dimitri's. He's feeling really threatened by Dimitri's lately. He talked with Kevin about how he feels like Dimitri's is in the best position of the house right now. He's really killing it, and they want to make sure that they get him out before he gets like too big of a foothold in the game. So I could really see them taking that shot.
Oh, that would be bad, because I like Ika when she has Dimitri's. I feel like her game is good with Dimitri's, but without Dimitri's, I feel like it would just be a Texas tornado. So, I mean, if you think it's bad now,
I really don't want Dimitri going on the double. Yeah. I want her, you know, I feel like the double just, it kind of sucks, because it's like they just get out right away, and there's no strategizing really that you can do within that amount of time, except for like very, very little stuff. But I just don't want her to go out that way. I want it to be, you know, more of a battle. But I think that Dre is in a lot of danger for the double. I think a lot of people this week are now thinking, we need to go after Dre first. A lot of people were like, oh, William first. And now a lot of people are like, we got to get Dre.
Boy, she is a bad player, isn't she? And I want to give her props, but she manages to get herself in danger when she should not be in danger. It's just amazing to me how she's the kind of player that Bruno fears. She's a big dog hunter, kind of like Karen, where she is, but she seems to have a little bit more. She's outwardly more vocal about it, where she was the one who was trying to get out Bruno. She was trying to get William to nominate Bruno, but effectively she saw that nobody was really with her on that. Ika wasn't with her. Nobody was with her. Dimitri's. So she eventually gave up. I didn't like that. She basically just left the room and said, well, y'all figure it out, because she wasn't getting her way. So I feel like that was twofold error, because number one, she left the room and didn't get her way. Number two, she let everybody know that this is the person I want to go after. And if you're going to go after a big game, I feel like the best course of action is to just pull the trigger and do it. And when you're not the person who can pull the trigger, I feel like that was a bit of an error on her part.
Yeah, she just doesn't have any like real game sense. Like, she knows what she should be doing more than most people in terms of like where the pieces lie, but she has no idea how to make the moves happen.
Yeah, she knows where the bodies are buried, I feel like, at this point. But she doesn't know how to dig them up or get rid of them.
Which is what makes her dangerous to the players in power, because she's somebody that if she does win, she can make a move against them. And they're lucky that she hasn't been able to influence others to make those moves for her. But there is still discussion happening. Netta still wants William out before Dre. Kevin obviously was like, I think for me, getting Dre out first would be better.
Actually. Yeah, they're both fighting for their own position in the game, which I expect both of them to.
I think it's still up in the air which one goes if they end up being targeted. But I do think there's definitely going to be a push on both sides. I think probably it's better for Bruno if Dre goes first as well. So we could see a Bruno versus Netta kind of influence battle during the double eviction if that's the case.
Yeah. I'm going to take back what I said earlier, which I said Jackie and Karen. Now that I think about it more, I feel like anybody from the six, if they win, they're going to put up Dre and William. I just feel like that's what's going to happen. Now, the real interesting question is if Ika and Dimitri's are stupid enough to win HOH. And considering what happened with last week, with Dimitri's winning, saying, in your words, Taryn, I want to show everybody that I can win competitions that I am not expected to win. Freaking brilliant. What a stupid ass. I couldn't even believe he said that. I was like, oh my God, what would these be? I can't even believe Ike is working with somebody like this. So if he is stupid enough to win HOH during the double eviction, which, I mean, I guess you can make an argument that maybe he needs to, because we just talked about them being in danger, but I don't know. I'm not sure how they would be in danger. So he shouldn't win HOH. If he does anything, I literally could see them nominate anybody. They would, if Ika Dimitris won HOH, they would nominate Jackie and who's ever left over between Dylan and Emily. I'm positive that's what would happen.
I definitely think that's true at the moment, but you never know, because this week could play out where they take a stand for Emily, let's say.
Right.
And
that's true.
And they feel like they have her. So that could change a lot, because if they feel like they have Emily, then they need to put up somebody next to Jackie.
Cindy?
And is it going to be Cindy?
Yeah, you know, possible.
Ika definitely had Cindy. You know, in the prior week to some extent, she's had Cindy. Like, Cindy likes Ika a lot, but for whatever reason, Ika has been throwing Cindy under the bus lately, especially to Netta. I mean, Ika's just all over the place at all times, and she hasn't really gotten caught yet, but it's very strange to track her game, because, you know, it was like, oh man, Ika's pulling Cindy. This is huge for Ika. This is like a big, big thing for Ika. And now she's just kind of like, meh. I don't need Cindy. Let's throw her to the wolves. I'll buddy up with Netta again instead. She's just all over the place, and it's working for her so far, which is very interesting.
Right. By the way, Nikki asks in the chat room, when we're talking about the six, am I including Dimitris and Ika? Yes, effectively, when I'm talking about the six, I'm including Dimitris and Ika. When I'm talking about, like, members of the six who would nominate, like, William and Dre, obviously, Ika and Dimitris are not part of that. But so they're like, tangentially part of the six. Like, they're in the six when the six are talking about them, but as I've said previously, they are more in the middle of the house than they would have you believe. So I don't think that anybody, I'll say this, I feel like their position as the middle of the house is a little bit more camouflaged, at least Ika's position, than anybody really realizes at this point. And I really like the game that she's playing. Dimitri, I feel like he's a little bit more obvious. I feel like there are people, like we've talked about with Bruno, and even people on the other side of the house who realize that Dimitris is more in the middle. But I feel like, even though you think of them as the same person, Ika is playing the better game, because I feel like she's more camouflaged. Both sides firmly believe that she's with them.
And it's so strange. I think it's a symptom of her erratic gameplay, because
I agree.
When it matters, she's in the six, she's protecting Bruno from being nominated. And then as soon as the nominations happen and the veto is played out and it's not going to, like, Bruno is no longer an option to be put up, she's like, oh, we should have got out Bruno. I hate Bruno now. Like, I'm all in with Dre and William, which is like, people believe it because I think it's true. Every time she talks to them, she really believes it. And then she goes off and she hates on people and she doesn't talk to them while she's hating on them. And then by the time she's flipped around, she goes and talks to them again and she's actually on their side
again. So effectively at this point, she's being rewarded by her terrible gameplay. That's what I feel like is happening. Like, her gameplay is really awful, but because she's she's one of these people that firmly believes her own lies. Sorry, it started to come down. Like, she believes her own lies to a point where it's so believable. You're like, well, I must believe you because you're obviously not lying to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like that's exactly like what's happening with Ika. And I do think, you know, again, when Bruno was talking today, he was recognizing, like, I don't think Ika is going to what Bruno thinks of Ika is, I don't think she'll strike at us next. I think she's going to strike at, she's going to take one more week to strike at either Dylan, Emily slash Jackie first, and then she's going to come for us. And he recognizes that she's trying to build an army right
That's
now.
A
and
smart
he's,
guy.
He's cognizant of that, which is why I think he's prepared to take the first strike if Jackie or, you know, Dylan win the HOH.
No Dylan. Actually, well, I think Dylan will be gone. So, I'm not sure Emily would nominate Ika and Dimitris. Maybe, not sure.
Yeah, I think this is definitely, again, like, this is like the kind of gameplay that I love watching, because it's just, it's a lot of people maneuvering pawns around.
Oh my God. So you just said
in preparation
that. So
for
Big Brother Canada is going to screw it up, right? That's what's going to happen.
Yes,
you just said
exactly
you love this. Oh my God. The curse. Oh. Yeah.
No, I think that it's so interesting to watch the six strategize because there's so many intricate parts. There, everything's a moving part where they're like, okay, you're going to have to be the one to talk to William because William doesn't think that Cindy and I are close. So we're not close. We don't know each other. We don't talk to each other. So you're going to have to be the one to tell him this. And then we also aren't close. Like they have these different, like various fake relationships that are like where it's like, we don't talk, but really they do talk. And they just, it's crazy to see how they can remember like who's supposed to be close to who and who's supposed to be closer to who. It gets so confusing, but I love it. I think it's great the way they're, and the fact that they're so comfortable with being like, okay, well, I need you to get close to so-and-so. I need you to get close to so-and-so and build these outside relationships. It's crazy that they can do all that and then come back together and be like, okay, cool. This is what we're
doing. It's a little brigade-esque, like with their ability to work together and yet and still be comfortable with these side relationships that every one of them seems to have. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, but that many people together cannot coexist until the final six. So obviously something's going to have to break. Yeah. And also their intentions at this point seem to be diverging more than they did in the beginning. Like in the beginning, it was all like, okay, let's get rid of Dallas. Let's get rid of Cass. Let's get rid of Gary. Like we all agree on that. But now I feel like that they have different wants, especially Ike and Demetrius who like, you know, are effectively part of the six.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the thing we have to watch out for the rest of this week leading into next week is who is able to grab the valuable pieces in the middle, which are like Jackie, Cindy, and whoever remains from Emily and Dylan. Those are the pieces that are kind of up for grabs at the moment. And whoever's able to grab those going into next week is probably going to be the successful side. So, I mean, right now, Kevin and Bruno have Jackie. And they still have Emily and Dylan to some extent, but they are definitely upset with them. So they could end up losing them. And Cindy, I think, is still pretty much in the middle. Cindy has not chosen a side at all yet because she hasn't really had to. So it's very interesting to see where she ends up, especially now with Ika kind of throwing her under the bus. So
I'm sorry. Neta, go ahead. Sorry. No, I thought you were done.
Well, Neta definitely has information to pull Cindy back in, but Neta's angry at Cindy because of what Ika said. So Cindy's in a very weird spot right now.
Can we talk about Cindy and her, you know, Ika's been going on about the fact that Cindy is thirsty. She's calling her thirsty with a T. If she was in the desert, she'd still be thirsty, even if they gave her a bunch of water. And someone just tweeted this to me. John Densford retweeted this and said, shots fired. He said, Demetrius is talking to Ika and he says, after watching Cindy's season, I will never trust her. The last thing I want to do is get JP. Like, I love that our boy, Jordan Parhar, is now a verb.
Yeah. I mean, it's like having your showmans turn on you. That's a pretty big thing, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, you've got to be wary of somebody that's capable of doing that. Yeah. It's
and
shocking.
Cindy
that
apparently
it hasn't...
said to Demetrius, she said, like, you know, when we get to the jury house, I'll show Demetrius a good time. Or something. I can't remember exactly what she said. It was very flashbacks to Jordan. Like I was like, stop. I don't know when she said that. This was definitely something I read on Twitter. But I'm sorry. I'm just laughing at the thought of her trying to get Demetrius when Ika is, you know, so into him at this point.
Yeah, I mean Ika has been talking about like, man, you scare me. I care enough about you that you scare me and I don't get scared. Like there's some serious stuff going down apparently.
Serious. Yeah. Yes.
I was just going to say like, it's interesting that someone that we're really forgetting about is Karen.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like Karen's just going to skate through all the way to the end because nobody, I mean, I can't even imagine an entire week being used up to get Karen out.
Kevin.
Like it just
I feel
seems
like Kevin would.
It's,
don't you?
Yeah, it's Kevin. Kevin is the
yeah,
only
Yeah, well, Kevin
the
would
only
be the one,
one
person. It's just
crazy.
Well,
you know, weirder things have happened. I agree with you, though, that she's in a great position. I felt like she's going to be like Victoria. She's going to be like the pawn. Like, if you ever need a pawn, okay, let's just put Karen up there. Although she's the kind of person who holds a grudge, though. I feel like she is. You know,
oh, yeah.
She's not somebody who's just going to take being a pawn. I feel like she would see that as an insult. Like, you know, like, how dare they use me as a pawn? I'm going to show them, you know. I feel like that's the kind of woman she is.
Yeah.
Definitely. I mean, that talk that Kevin and Bruno and Neta had today, they all agreed immediately. Like, isn't it so annoying that Karen is going to be in the final three? They're just like, yeah, and there's nothing we can do about it. Like, but let's get into some questions. I've got one from Chris Carullo. Why do fans all of a sudden think Kevin is bad at the game? Where did this narrative come from?
From Meta saying that he's a piss poor player. That's where it came from.
Exactly.
It was his messiness with the Cindy thing. He didn't need to tell William. He exposed a key piece of information from somebody who's definitely an ally of his to somebody else when he didn't need to. And he's also seen as somebody who is relatively shifty by many of the other house guests. So that's why Netta is saying, like, actually, I think Kevin's kind of a bad game player. And I don't totally disagree with her. In fact, I don't think Kevin in a vacuum would disagree with her. Like, I think his position in the game is relatively fine right now, but his gameplay leaves much to be desired from where I'm sitting.
Yeah, it was very interesting because this was in the midst of people being the angriest about Kevin because they were like, why did he do this? Did he betray us? Is he setting it up? At one point, Ika thought that maybe Kevin was the vote for William and he's trying to pin it on Cindy.
Thank you. Yes, and I forgot about that.
And so, I mean, Kevin was in a lot of hot water. And part of me thought, is Netta trying to cover for Kevin here by saying, guys, I think maybe he's just a really bad player.
No, I think she was just being honest.
Well, and that's, but you know, whether or not it was honest, I think it's really beneficial to Kevin's game, to be honest. I mean, I think it's definitely seeped into the fan base because all today people are talking about, like, man, Kevin is just a bad player. And I think it does largely come from this comment by Netta and this idea that maybe we're all wrong about Kevin. Maybe he's a bad player. And I think that's going to really help Kevin going down the line. If he gets toward the end of the game and he still has this reputation as just like, you know, we thought Kevin was a good player, but he's really not. I think people aren't going to be as scared to take him far, whereas that was one of his biggest obstacles because of the perception that people have of him. I think that perception is changing and I don't think it's intentional. I think he's making legitimate mistakes. I think he's being too honest with people often. He telling people about Cindy's vote. He was talking to Dylan about, like, do you want to stay, Dylan? Because, you know, there are a lot of people that feel like you're very valuable to them in this game. And Dylan was like, I'm no pony. Like, what are you talking about?
Right?
Like,
I'm not here to be that's used totally by other people. I can't even believe when he said that. Like, do you not know how to talk to people? Like, oh, God.
Well, it reminds me of Adam on Survivor, where it seemed like Adam was just, like, way too honest about things and just, like, didn't word things. I think largely that was a symptom of the edit on Survivor. I don't want to pin that on Adam. But we're definitely seeing Kevin does not know how to word things to people in a way that makes them feel comfortable because he's just a little too honest. And I think he thinks that being honest helps build trust with people, and it should, but it doesn't work in the way that he wants it to. Whereas people like Bruno, at least with the people that he's comfortable with, Bruno is very capable of talking to people and making them feel comfortable. When he was talking to Kevin, he was like, listen, I've got your back. In this conversation I had with Netta, she was talking about how she's wary of you, but you know I'm loyal to you. She thinks I'm not, but, like, he had all of these disclaimers and, like, ways of making sure, of reassuring Kevin, like, oh, we're all good. This is totally, like, this is perfect. And Kevin felt very comfortable with Bruno in that moment. And Kevin just doesn't have that in him with really anybody.
I'm sorry, I started falling out because I read a by the way, it's Stina Nitz, by the way. That's her name. I just want to say that.
I know, she got mad at me.
I know, right? Because what did you say, like,
I said Stina stinks because Christine, that was Christine's handle. Like, the stinks thing was Christine's handle. And I always, like, I read it and I think stinks. And then,
oh my God. So, okay. Well, I was just like, I started giggling at one point because she just randomly tweeted out, like, 5 hours ago, like, Karen is recruiting new members for the We Hate Kevin Martin Club.
Yes.
I just started dying. Like,
that was when she was talking to Emily, because Emily's very mad, very mad at Kevin Martin right now.
Oh man, that just, I'm sorry. It's so funny when you're in the middle of a podcast and you just start going, like,
okay. So next question is from Edmo. Do these nominations help or hurt Ika and Dimitri's with getting back in with the six? What do you think, Brent?
I think it helps them. I think it makes them a bigger part of the six. They can be replaced by another pair now. And also this week, because Ika has done such good work for Bruno, Bruno and Kevin have mutually talked about how much work that Ika has done. Even Netta seems to be a little bit happy with Ika right now, which is definitely improvement from where things were at least a week ago. So I'm very happy with their position in the house. I really don't think that, obviously, we talked about this. Bruno's not going to take a shot at them directly. If somebody like Jackie, God forbid, gets power and puts up Demica, then I feel like obviously they're going to take a shot because they have to. I guess they probably get rid of Dimitri's at that point, but I've also heard rumblings that maybe Aika might be in danger. So I'm not even really sure how that would go down.
Yeah, I mean, I think essentially what happens here is that it definitely helped Aika and Dimitri's with their relationship with the Six. They feel like they can trust them more. However, yes. I think there's almost like, was it worth the squeeze? Like, should Aika have tried to get William to take the shot at Bruno here? All she needs to do is not push so hard to keep him safe. And if William takes this shot, it probably takes heat off of herself. She can work on saving Bruno with the votes if she needs to.
But I feel like that might destabilize the house too much. I feel like if they take a shot at Bruno and he potentially goes home, and we weren't even sure he could go home, but let's just assume for the sake of argument that he does. I feel like that really... it moves Dylan and Emily over here because they were really close to Bruno. Yeah, I know they have a relationship with Kevin, but I feel like they're closer to Bruno. And I just don't know that in that scenario that Dimitri's and Aika don't become a bigger target. I feel like now they're a smaller target. And I feel like if Bruno is out of the house, them as a big, strong, strategic pair become one of the bigger targets in the house.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. What do you think, Melissa?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think that right now their target is not so big just because I think everybody kind of thinks that they're on their side. So I think they're in a good position right now. And I think that if William had taken a shot at Bruno, there's too many external people right now because we still have like Jackie, Dylan, Emily, Karen, like there's just Andre, William, like all these external people that are outside of the Six that if we just start tearing apart the Six now, then those people can just slip right in. I feel like there's still a few more external people that need to leave before the Six should turn on each other.
Yeah, I feel like maybe this was an opportunity for Aika. I don't think she would have had her hands too dirty if she had just kind of like, if William was leaning toward it and she just was like, I don't know, maybe not.
On the other hand, that would be four vets in a row.
That's true.
And I feel like that is a bridge too far. So I feel like it was definitely I didn't love these nominations, I'm going to be honest, because I feel like it's a little bit of a letdown of the, oh my God, Williams HOH.
Yeah.
On the other hand, like I said earlier, I wouldn't mind Dylan or Emily leaving, especially Dylan, because I can't stand him. I also don't feel like he's hungry for the win, and I like people who are hungry for the money and the win. So I'm on balance. I'm okay with this. And I feel like this is probably the best we could hope for. I just don't think that Bruno would have ever left. And I think Aika would have done more to hurt herself by trying to get him on the block because the consequences of that are unforeseeable. Whereas now I feel like the house is pretty stable. It's like you said, it's kind of a bye week. The dynamics of the house really have not changed if Dylan or Emily go home. And I feel like Aika and Dimitri's are comfortable where they're at right now with Bruno out of the picture. And again, people are in the chat are saying, well, how would they have gotten Bruno out? Again, I agree with you, that would have been problematic, but I'm going with the scenario here. Let's assume Bruno is taken out of the Jenga puzzle. I feel like that in that scenario the house starts to look a lot different. Things start to jumble at that point, and Aika and Dimitri's could really find themselves on the bottom.
I agree. Well, I think maybe the move is to let Bruno be nominated and then save him with the votes, because then, you know, William and Dre will have taken a direct shot at Bruno, and maybe Bruno is less likely to say, we'll leave William and Dre alone for now and make sure that, you know, Dimitri's and Aika are crippled next week.
Yeah, I feel like it's dangerous, though, because you got people in the house like Karen and Cindy who, you know, all of a sudden they could just start doing the thinking for themselves, you know, like, I mean, that's dangerous when the pawns start thinking for themselves.
Yeah. All right. So next question is from Merlin Meridian Mary. Since it's a round table, can we assign the LFC to be Arthur, Merlin, Lancelot, Guinevere, etc.? It would make that person so happy.
Obviously, I'm Merlin. I've got my own Book of Shadows. Like, come on. It's not even a question. Like, come on. And I'm also the oldest. So there you go.
I think I'm trying to remember either Lancelot or like one of the G names was always my favorite.
Galahad.
Lancelot was the dude that Galahad. I liked Galahad. Yeah.
The one, you know who you are? You're Mordred. That was the evil one. Yeah. He was the traitor. That was the one. Yeah. Or that could be Alex because the bitch isn't here right now.
Yeah.
So he's
yeah,
missing.
Alex is whatever we decide he is.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like Melissa has to be Guinevere. She's beautiful. She's feisty, you know? Yeah. And I feel like you're our leader for the round table. So you have to be Arthur.
Oh yeah. There you go. Yeah. Pull the sword out of the stone. Everything.
Yeah. There you go.
Okay, so from Dwitney Elena on Twitter. Netta is protecting herself between Bruno and Aika. They are her shields. She knows Kevin and Bruno want Dimitri out, and Dimitri, Aika, Dre want Kevin Bruno out. How do we feel about this positioning by Netta? We kind of talked about this, but like I'm really happy about what Netta's doing here. Do we think that she can maintain it?
I think it's tough because she has immunity. So I think that people aren't thinking about targeting her. Like they're not, while it's like, oh, Dimitri Zyka, they're going to be targeting Kevin Bruno, Dimitri Zyka, whatever. They're not thinking about Netta yet because
right. she's not a piece on the board yet. She's off the board.
She's not there. So it's not really, I don't necessarily see it as she's doing a great job of protecting herself because I think that right now she's not relevant. But the second she becomes relevant, I think targets can change.
Yeah. Like thinking about going into the double, I'm thinking, is Netta really vulnerable in this double eviction? Who would put her up and would they vote her out if she got put up by whoever that is? I can't think of anyone that would put her up.
I don't think they would vote her out. I feel like they would want to save her. Like it's too, I feel like they would maybe think it's a week or two too early. But I really don't feel like it's ever too early to get out a player like Netta, because if somebody puts her up and you miss, I feel like that then she's going to go all the way. Like she's just really, she's really on the glide path to the end. If you had a chance to take her out and you turned it down and thought somebody else was more important, bitch, please, who's more important than Netta at this point? Who is more dangerous in the game than her? Mm-hmm. You can make an argument. Maybe Bruno is. But I don't think anybody else is really more important than Netta. And by the way, just really quickly, I got so much shade from people for saying Dimitri's wrong. But bitch, I haven't heard you say it once right this whole time, Taryn. So isn't it dumb eat trees, right?
Yeah,
isn't that how we say it?
Oh,
I'm sorry. I've never heard you put the S on the end of it.
I've been saying it the whole time, but
okay. Sorry, it sounds like you say Dimitri. So yeah. Good.
Well,
I
try to like not emphasize the S because it just feels awkward to me. So I just say, like,
it's
Dimitri's...
very French, like yeah. Dimitri. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
His sister put on Twitter at one point. She spelled it out as D E E dash. So instead of dumb, she spelled it as D. And they said, well, why is he wearing the shirt that says dumb? And she was just like, well, he's gotten used to that pronunciation, but apparently it's Dimitri's.
Oh, man.
Oh, we got
it's just getting so confusing. I know. It's like,
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, he's Dimitri's to me. Dimitri's.
So Dimitri's. One thing I do think we should talk about, Dylan and Emily, they finally consummated the relationship.
Oh, God.
Gag.
That makes me shudder.
So
consummated. So, oh God.
In what, wait, can somebody please remind me what the scenario was? I woke up, you know, bitch, I don't follow live feeds when I'm asleep. And Dylan at one point had said, I'm going to let my body do the talking.
Oh God.
Do you guys remember why are we doing this? What was he saying this to? This was like, I'm like, what body and what talking? Melissa's like,
I can't.
Like, we have to talk because, like, I have to watch this constantly, listen to Dylan talk about, like, this constantly. I need all of my listeners right now to feel my pain if you're not watching these live feeds. Like, Dylan's just constantly like, I want your body. Like, I want us to, I just want your body on me right now. And it's just like, do people talk like this? Like, is this really what happens?
I don't like this conversation at all.
Yeah, let's move on. But basically,
yes. There's this weird situation last night where Dylan is in a relationship. He came into the house in a relationship. So Emily, I guess we've been thinking that she's just not interested, but apparently it was just the girlfriend thing that has been holding her back. So a lot of people just got together with Emily and just essentially talked her into being like, don't worry about it. You know, it's not a big deal that he's in a relationship. You should go for it anyway. And so they went into bed together last night and the feet's cut and
they had a nice little smooch.
Yeah.
Hopefully not more so, but
I'm interested to see, for honestly, just to be serious for a second, from a strategic point of view, does Dylan continue to keep up this facade of vote me out? Because he's been saying that to everybody. He's like, I want to go. You should keep Emily. I want her to stay safe. Does he continue to say that or does reality set in that I'm about to lose my shot at $100,000. And even though I got a $100,000 pair of shoes, like that ain't going to pay for something. So I need to get this money because he could get to the end. I mean, I'm not saying I don't think he's a good player at all. I think he's freaking terrible. But if the targets take each other out, he could conceivably find a way to get to the end and win. So, is he going to continue to keep up this, this attitude of vote me out. There's, we've seen a lot of people say that through the years, you know, like, you should vote me out. That's always what they say earlier in the week, but later in the week, they always change their minds and they start talking with people behind closed doors. Emily's talking with other people behind closed doors. They're not so chummy as far as that goes.
I was going to say the same thing, where it's like in the beginning of the week, they're always like, vote me out. And it turns out to be all talk when it comes really down to it. And they're like, oh, shoot, I'm about to go home. Like, people will actually vote me out. And then they just change their mind. I mean, the only thing I can think of is when Clay and Shelley, when he just kept, you know, saying, vote me out. And then he gets voted out. But I don't know.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go on record. I'm going to say Dylan follows through with this. I think that Dylan really doesn't care. I think that he is so, I mean, he is so blinded right now. He has like eyes only for Emily, and it's ridiculous how like that is all he cares about. It's the only thing on his mind, like, for most of the day. And I think that he has this aura about him that is like, let me do this thing for you. Like, I have money. I have, you know, power. I'm a powerful man. And this is like, I'm just going to give this to you,
Emily. If you had money and you had power, you wouldn't come on Big Brother Canada.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I feel like that's how he feels. And that's how I think he, you know, that's how he feels, like he wants to give this to Emily. And I really think that he'll stick with it. And if he finds out that they're keeping Emily, I think he might raise a bit of a fuss. And Ned is concerned about that.
I'm going to be very glad when one of them goes home this week, because I feel like I like each of them better, or a lot more, when they're separated. When they're together, I don't like them at all. But when they're separated, I tend to say, hey, well, he's not that bad. She's not that bad. Like, what was I thinking? And then the second they get back together, I'm like, oh my God, okay, I can't watch this. So I really think that it'll be much better for their games if one of them goes home.
But if one of them is gone, then how am I going to make you squirm on podcasts?
Hopefully you won't have to do that anymore. I hope to not do that.
All right. Is there anything else that you guys want to talk about before we close out the show here? I do want to ask in the chat if anybody has any ideas for hashtags. You know, you can follow us on Twitter. I am at Armstrong Taren. Brent is at One Lucky Gay. And Melissa is at It's Melissa with 3 A's?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, like I said, this week for me has been really exciting. I've been really enjoying the feeds.
I agree.
more than any other week, because there's a lot of stuff happening right now. And I don't know. I'm very excited for what's going to happen in this double eviction. And I know that me being excited means that we're going to get like totally screwed in the coming week or something. Like, there's something terrible is going to happen.
Yeah.
And I'm going to blame Brent for it. And
I'm curious, are you excited for the double eviction, or are you scared? Because for the first time in a long time, I'm actually a little scared about the double eviction. I feel like we could lose a really good player in the double, and usually I'm excited. Usually I'm like, oh, okay, bring it on. You know, I can't wait for the double eviction, but I'm slightly nervous. I'd be okay with a letdown. I'll put it that way.
I think I'm excited, because I feel like the way the week is set up right now, like, it is all on the players right now to save themselves in this upcoming double eviction. Like, if they are leaving themselves vulnerable, like people like Kevin and Bruno, they have left themselves vulnerable to, if Dre wins or if Karen wins, then they are in deep trouble. And that's on them. If that's how they feel comfortable having their position, and it's probably the best position, but it also leaves them vulnerable, and that's the risk they have to take. So, I mean, I certainly would like to see one of the better players go home in the double, but I think it would definitely make for an exciting episode, and I think it makes for exciting gameplay to see what happens there. Do we have anything to plug? We've got the next show for you. It's not going to be Monday night. It's going to be Tuesday night. Rob will be on with Alex and Brent at 7 p.m. Eastern, I believe.
Yep.
And then we'll have our Wednesday show and Thursday show all normally scheduled. I know that for me, we've got Team Ninja Warrior coming up in, I think, just a couple weeks. So keep an eye on for that if you're a Ninja Warrior person, which you should be, because that's the best podcast I do. Sorry, guys. I know, Brent, you're doing the RuPaul's Drag Race stuff right
now. Yeah, me, Mike Bloom, and Liana Boros are doing the RuPaul's Drag Race podcast. Really fun season. A lot of potential winners, as I've mentioned in the past. You know, many seasons you watch and you know who the winner is going to be. Like Rob Cesternino famously watched one episode of RuPaul's Drag Race, having never seen it before, and predicted the winner from episode one. Okay, but this season is not like that. There are a lot of people who could win. So it's been very fun. We recorded a podcast right before this podcast. Actually, I said to them on that very podcast, I said I got up today, think, okay, I have the RuPaul's Drag Race podcast to do, then I have to do the round table with the guys and Melissa, and I thought to myself, I can't believe I talk about this shit all day. But here I'm here. I'm here, bitch. I'm here. So that we just recorded that. It's going to be out probably late tonight or early tomorrow, so make sure you follow that.
All right. I'm seeing a lot of inappropriate hashtags in the chat room. Maybe the least inappropriate one, Thirsty with an S. How do
thirsty
we like that
with
one?
An S. Yeah. Yes, that's the winner right there. Yes.
All right. So thank you guys so much for listening. For Brent and Melissa, I am Taryn Armstrong. Hashtag thirsty with an S. We will see you next time.